Your righteousness are like filthy rags. So when you come to God and you want justification, which is what? Declare righteous. If you want this and you bring something and say, God, here's what I'm offering. You lost. The Pharisee went home unjustified. What is on the other side? God declares us righteous. So if you declare yourself righteous in your marriage, with your children, in the church family, in the community, if you're walking around declaring yourself righteous, now I don't know, folks, how to work this doctrine out. All I'm going to tell you is you need to check your salvation. Oh, wait a minute. Now, I believe in once saved, always saved. Well, I believe it too. But if you're constantly comparing yourself to other people and feeling better about yourself, I have a question. Where are you getting your righteousness?
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Justified by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship to the way we serve to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
This morning, we're back in our series on the parables of Christ. And this parable is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and is titled Justified. It's a simple parable, but it has very deep meaning and application. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. And once again, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That should give you a clue. He prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. As you know, parables are like mirrors. When you read a parable, the question is, do you see yourself? Which character are you playing in this story? And so the question to you is, which one are you? Are you the self-righteous Pharisee who was condescending towards the tax collector? Or are you the tax collector standing afar off, beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Who are you in this story? Here's a clue. This will help you. Do you often say things like, you always, and I never? This is a convicting message. Do you often say things like, let me tell you the difference between you and me? Anybody want to leave? You can leave now. Do you often compare yourself to the other person, backing them up in a corner with your logic, with your reason, with your strong personality? And you know a few Bible verses to go along with it that pretty much you are the winner. Because this morning, there's a question about your salvation. You say, oh, I believe in once saved, always saved. Oh, I'm a Calvinist. Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's good. We believe in eternal security as well. But see, there's a reason why Jesus says, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. So are you justified? I believe this morning some people may get saved for the first time. And be careful. It's tricky. Because you may not be the self-righteous Pharisee here, but you may be the tax collector. It's called reverse comparison, where you, poor me, what I've been through in life, no one understands. Church is full of hypocrites. You see, what you've done now is you're saying, I am better than you legalistic, hypocritical Christians. You're not justified either. Which one are you? It's very simple. You've never given your heart to Christ. You have to come, Pharisee or tax collector, doesn't matter. If you would bow your heads, if you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, now you come with empty hands. You come with nothing, no righteousness. And then God's wrath is lifted, and God's righteousness through His Son Jesus is applied to you. So here's the prayer. If you've never prayed that, pray the simple prayer that said, Jesus, nothing in my hand I bring. I'm lost. No amount of church membership or all that I've done or all that I've given matters. I am a wretched sinner. You have to say that. I am a wretched sinner, the chief of all sinners. I need your grace. I need Jesus to come into my life. I need Him to forgive me of my sins and take over. And I'll follow Him the rest of my life. Help me. The parable we just read is set in the context of prayer in the temple. However, if we think that this is only about prayer and how prayer works, then we are greatly mistaken. It deals with much bigger, larger issues which have some serious implications. I mean, we're talking about justification. That's the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. This is the basis of our salvation. And even though Paul is going to later on flesh it out and explain what justification means, Jesus has already planted the seed. And the seed is in this passage. So let's begin by asking the first question, why did Jesus give this parable? And it tells us, Luke tells us in verse 9, he said, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. But here's the second characteristic, and they despised others. Two things are wrong with this picture. First, they trusted in themselves, and then second, they were condescending towards others. Now, who were these people? Who are these people that Jesus is referring to? Well, again, the parable tells us, listen to verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, you've heard me talk about the Pharisees throughout this series. Who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were lay people who were trying to live by a higher standard. Their claim was that why should just the priests in the temple should live by God's standards? All of us should live by God's standards. So your home becomes the temple. These were the Pharisees, the scribes. They thought of their higher righteousness a lot. And also the local people, the lay people, they appreciated them because, man, these are the holy people. And also they would help out other people who did not know the law, and they would often help them keep the law. So the question this morning is that bad? Well, there was another problem. They were very condescending towards others. But the other character in the parable is a tax collector. Now, I haven't talked about the tax collector much in this series, so just for the benefit of understanding, the Greek word for them is telones. That's where we get our word toll collectors. The Romans had three kinds of tax systems. One was tax on the land, then the poll tax, and then the customs tax. The land tax was pretty much based on how much land you have, so kind of set. It's a direct tax. the poll tax. If you remember, Joseph and Mary, they went to be registered so they could pay the poll tax, the individual tax, the personal tax. But the customs tax was the indirect tax. It was based on the goods, the merchandise that was flowing through the empire, through the province. I mean, the Romans can't be everywhere with their soldiers collecting taxes. So what they would do is they would subcontract it. And so if you had money, what you would do is you would bid. You would say, you know, just for the province of Galilee or Judea, I am going to give the Romans $10,000. Let's just say that. $10,000. And if you are the lowest or the highest bidders, and there you go. Here it is. Now you can collect taxes. Anything over $10,000 is yours. And so what were the tax collectors doing, the toll collectors? Man, they were making money. They were taking advantage of people. And they were looked down upon because they were taking advantage of their own people. And they were also leading their own people astray. I mean, imagine living in that economy. And your young son, he cannot find a job. He cannot do anything. And there comes a tax collector. Man, he is driving a Ferrari or a really nice camel. You know, he is doing great. And your son says, you know, I want to do that. Son, you can never do that. That's an abomination. He is serving the Gentiles. You're taking advantage of your people if you ever go work with them. But now your son loves that lifestyle and he is gone. So the tax collectors were looked down upon as a menace on their society. You know what Jesus did? He neither condoned their sin, neither did he condemn them. He converted them. Jesus did not condone their sin. How do we know that? Listen to what it says in Matthew 5:43. You have to read between the lines. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. But then listen to verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? For even the tax collectors do the same. What Jesus is saying in that little statement in the Beatitudes is, listen, the tax collectors, they love their own, and they don't care one bit about anybody else. Do you want to be like a tax collector? I mean, that goes to tell you, Jesus did not condone their sins. He did not gloss over their sins. But at the same time, Jesus went after them. To him, they were the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son who had to be saved. And the Pharisees and the scribes could not understand. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he associate with this bunch? But what did Jesus say? It's not those who are well that need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to save you. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. They're lost. That's why we believe in doctrinal preaching. We believe in expository preaching. We have discipleship. We have apologetics. We have all that stuff. But if you ask me, wake me up in the middle of the night, what is the goal of this church? To make Christ visible so that a lost person can get saved. Something else. And this is very important. Jesus was fully man, but he was also fully God. He knew their hearts. He knew the hearts of the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, the Pharisees were up here, the righteous ones. The tax collectors were down here, the unrighteous, wretched ones. But Jesus saw their hearts, and to him, there was no difference. In fact, if you want to know that, you have to, again, read between the lines. When Jesus is pronouncing curses, woes, against the Pharisees and the scribes. And I want you to listen in on those. And again, read between the lines or hear between the lines. Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 4. He's talking to the Pharisees. I mean, he is pronouncing curses on them. First one, verse 4. For they, not the tax collectors, the Pharisees, the scribes, for they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders. Now, I would have expected Jesus to say that about the tax collectors. But Jesus is not talking about tax collectors. He's talking about the scribes, the Pharisees. You know what the tax collectors were doing with the Roman law? The Pharisees and the scribes were doing with the Old Testament law. So they would find some law where a poor widow was right next to your property, and they would say, look, I don't know how to break this to you, but according to such and such a law over here, you know, you owe this much to the government. Now, what I can do, I can help you out, but listen, it's going to cost me so much. But the humble and the gracious man that I am, I want to do this for you. Because if I let you do this, you're going to have to pay so much more. But what you can do is turn that property over to me. You know what they were doing? No different than what the tax collectors were doing. They were putting heavy burdens on people that were hard to bear. And in the process, they were swallowing their property. Jesus saw through them and he said, I know your hearts. I know what you're up to. Listen to what else in verse 6. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues. Oh, of course, the tax collectors. Is there a show in town? Get us the best seats right up front. Here's the money. What do you need? The Pharisees and the scribes were no different. They wanted to be up in the front. What else? Verse 14. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Of course, the tax collectors for a pretense would say, look, I'm just doing my job. I'm sorry you got to go through this, but it's just my job. The Pharisee, on the other hand, would say, after he took over the property, let's have a word of prayer. And he would make a long prayer. And the poor widow just lost her house. But on a technicality, he swallowed her property. Jesus, being God, was not deceived by their self-righteousness. He saw through them. Verse 16, woe to you blind guides and who say whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. The tax collectors, on a little technicality, can, you know, really mess you up. The scribes and the Pharisees, oh, I swore to give you that money. Well, wait a minute. What did I say? Well, I thought you said by the temple. Well, see, that's the problem right there. I didn't say gold of the temple, did I? I don't have to keep it. I don't have to keep my word, so sorry. Jesus says, I know what you're doing. Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish. But listen to this, but inside they are full of extortion. The tax collectors were extorting people, but so were the Pharisees, and self-indulgence. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Now you say, man, that's a very interesting sermon there, Pastor Shaw. I love the way you put the Pharisees and the tax collectors on the same level. That's great. I love it. I love what you've done. But here's now let's go to application. Are you sure nobody wants to leave? Husbands, why is it that you put your finger in your wife's face and list out all the wrongs that she has done, all the things that she is not doing right, and because you know a few Bible verses to back it up, you say all those things? And if you were truly honest, if you were truly honest, which many of us are not, me included, we are guilty of the same things. Wives, same thing to you. The very things that you are condemning your husbands and you bring it up every single time. This is how you are, this is how you are, this is how you are. You never this and I always this are the very things that you're doing. You see, the problem is we're not going to be honest. That's the problem. So, you know, this message, I am not the Holy Spirit. I'm simply the messenger, so I can bring it to you. Other than that, you got to deal with it. But the very things, think about it, the very thing that you're angry with your son or your daughter, you don't do this, you don't stick with this, and you don't apply, do you? Do you apply yourself? You waste so much time watching TV. Do you? But there's only one show I like to watch. You watch it very religiously. You see, the problem with us is it's so easy for us to condemn the tax collector. Folks, here's the thing. You know why revival doesn't come? Because God's people lie all the time. We're lying. And we think God doesn't see. God doesn't get it. It's all closed up here. He can't see through. Do you really think so? He knows it all. And if we stand here or sit here and we think, oh, absolutely not. I am going through a difficult time. You don't know what I've been through. And these people, they don't understand my life. If you only had to live, you know what? That's called reverse comparison. What you're saying is, I am more righteous because of the hellish life I had growing up. So, which one are you? Are you the tax collector who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am guilty. Or are you the self-righteous, condescending Pharisee? So what happens? Listen to this parable now. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Right? There is a problem. You know why your prayers are not going up? Because you have self-righteousness and a condescending spirit in your heart. You're here this morning, instead of saying, God, speak to me. You know what you're doing? You're judging me. You're judging somebody. You're judging something in this place. God doesn't hear your prayers when you pray because you're praying to yourself. Listen to what it says. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Christians do that a lot. And the tax collector standing afar off would not even look up but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And now listen to what Jesus says. I tell you, this man went to his house justified. Now let me put this word up here. The word is justified, justification. This is where this parable ceases to be, oh, that's pretty cute, to being something that can either save you or condemn you forever. So what do you mean? What is justification? Justification has two parts. One is where Jesus takes the wrath of God upon himself for us. That's one side of the coin. What is the other side of the coin? It's when we receive Jesus as our Savior, God declares us righteous. Now, keep this in mind, because Jesus did not go into detail on this doctrine. Paul did. If you read Romans, if you read Galatians, if you read Philippians, Ephesians, 2 Corinthians, he fleshes out the doctrine of justification. By the way, that doctrine is a crucial doctrine on which the church stands or falls. If you get this wrong, it doesn't matter how wonderful the church is and how wonderful the preacher is or how you feel that you can apply the word. It doesn't matter if here we fail. Justification is a crucial doctrine. Jesus took the penalty of God's wrath upon himself. None of us can pay that penalty of sin. Your righteousness are like filthy rags. So when you come to God and you want justification, which is what? Declare righteous. If you want this and you bring something and say, God, here's what I'm offering. You're lost. The Pharisee went home unjustified. What is on the other side? God declares us righteous. So if you declare yourself righteous in your marriage, with your children, in the church family, in the community, if you're walking around declaring yourself righteous, now, I don't know, folks, how to work this doctrine out. All I'm going to tell you is you need to check your salvation. You say, oh, wait a minute, now, I believe in once saved, always saved. Well, I believe it too. But if you're constantly comparing yourself to other people and feeling better about yourself, I have a question. Where are you getting your righteousness? So one of two things need to happen this morning. There needs to be some heavy repentance for the way you are treating the other person, or whoever that person is. Or you need to get saved. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Because God's about to change your life forever. Because all this time you've been walking around with your filthy rags and saying, I'm saved, I'm saved, look how good I am. Look how better I am than the other person. God's saying, as long as you hold this up, you're lost. You're going home unjustified. We had a great service, man. I felt so close to God. You know what's happened? You are in a surrounding. Well, I felt chills. Do you think feeling chills is what means to be saved? Man, I felt it all over me. Whew, it came over. Do you really think so? You can go to a ball game and feel the same chills. Where are we getting this stuff from? It's when you come and say, God, nothing in my hand I bring. Here I am, God, begging for your mercy. And you don't have to beg. You simply have to ask. God says, it's already been done. It's on the cross. Your penalty of sins was paid. You broke the law of God, but Jesus fulfilled everything. It's done. And now you are declared righteous. And you're a work in progress. There may be days you struggle with self-righteousness, but that's called sanctification. You know, justification and sanctification are like two legs of the same pants. You can't have one without the other. I mean, they're distinct. But you cannot have sanctification unless you have justification. So this morning, as we go in our time of invitation, I have no idea what God is telling you. But if you're living in self-righteousness constantly, you always feel better about yourself, you always bring the other person down, one or two things. Either you need to really repent and say, God, forgive me, because having been declared righteous, I have nothing in me but what you've given to me. Why am I judging the other person? Forgive me, God, forgive me. And help me to be more Christ-like. Or the other thing is, you're lost. You got to get saved. You've been trusting in your self-righteousness. And today's the day of salvation. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Listen to this powerful statement. For all have sinned. What does that mean? All have sinned. And fall short of the glory of God. None of your good works matter. Being justified, how? What's the word? Say it again. Freely. By His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now Jesus only put a seed in the ground. Paul explains it and goes in depth as the church is born. But the seed is there. The Pharisee went home lost. The tax collector got saved.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. So many times we fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to others, when really what we should be doing is looking to our Heavenly Father and how He sees us. Stop comparing yourself to other people, repent of the sin that's in your heart, and turn to your Heavenly Father today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.